Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we do part 2 of A Servant's Heart Being Explained, looking at verses 12 through 18. So let's start off by reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Wherefore, my beloved, if ye as always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Let us commit these verses, this passage to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time as we come to your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having a copy of your word to study, to meditate upon, to just rely upon the precious promises of your word. We are such a blessed people because we have this wonderful love letter from you to us. Lord, you desire for us to know more about you, more about Jesus. Help us to be ever diligent in understanding and knowing intimately who you are, who your Son is. Lord, thank you. Lord, just want to commit this time to you. We want to commit this message to you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to leave changed people. We would leave being different than when we came in. Lord, break through. You will speak as you already have as we read your word. So you've spoken to us and you will continue to speak. We know that. Lord, the problem is oftentimes we're dull of hearing. So Lord, break through, we pray. Cause us to hear. Cause us to deal with our sin. Cause us to deal with areas we need to change. Lord, help us to be encouraged. Help us to be rejoicing at what you're doing. Oh God, thank you for the truth of your word. Be with us now, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started off last week looking at verses 12 and 13. We looked at this call to diligent action as Paul writes, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." There's a command to be obedient. You have been obedient. Continue to be obedient. He's saying, be obedient with faithfulness while I'm not here. He's saying, be obedient with diligence. Work it out. Work out your sanctification. Grow. Go through the process. Be diligent in growing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. With great care, with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, reverence for God. Understanding the magnitude of who He is and understanding who we are. And that we so easily will fail if depending upon ourselves. And the beauty of these two verses is that there's this command to be diligent in our obedience, But then he gives us great confidence to be obedient, as he says, "For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God doesn't just leave us here all by us ourselves to say good luck with working out your salvation, your sanctification. He says, "Work it out in my power. I'm energizing you." God energizes our will, our desire, and he energizes our work, what we do, to do his good pleasure. All that he wants us to do, everything that God desires for us to do, we aren't left to ourselves to do it all by ourselves. He's encouraging us, he's energizing us to be able to desire, to want to do his will, and then empowering us to do his will. That's precious. So as we explain the servant's heart is all about obedience. A servant's heart, the root of it, is one who is obedient. We are a doulos, one who is responsive to the will of another, our master. And as he energizes us, as he works through us, we can then be a diakonos, we can be a servant of others, being responsive to the needs of others as we serve others. And when we're allowing God to work in and through us, glory is given to God. That's the process. That's the reality of where we're at. That should become who we are at our core. That should be our purpose for living. Submission to the will of God, responsive to the needs of others, all to the glory of God. That's it. That's why Paul has to write these words, "Be diligent in doing that." Be diligent. So he gives us this call to diligent action. Now today, we look at a challenge to Christ-honoring actions. He challenged us to do Christ-honoring actions. How do we honor Christ in what we do? Paul is challenging us. There's some things that you need to do. Paul challenges the saints to certain behavior. There's certain behavior that we must engage in as Christians. The actions of the saints should be Christ-honoring, being characterized by submissive obedience. Submissive obedience, listening to what God's calling us to do and responding to do it. Responding to act outside of our comfort zone. Responding to love the unlovely. Responding to be faithful to serve one another. That's the challenge that we have before us. So letter A, these actions are explained. These actions are explained. There are negative behaviors to stay away from, as well as positive behaviors to diligently exercise. Of course, here in verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We start off, number one, with a negative behavior to put off. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all envy, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and evil speakings," laying it aside as a garment that you're wearing, Paul is saying, stop wearing the garment of murmuring and disputing. Put it off. Because that's not Christ-honoring. What does he mean? Murmurings. What does it mean to murmur? Complain. When we get to chapter 4, Paul calls out to women of the church who are fighting with each other. And this seems to be just a problem that he's dealing with here. He's touching on it. It needs to be unity. Beginning of the chapter, it needs to be unity. Be unified. Paul seeks to call attention to the dangers of these characteristics and put an end to them before they get out of hand. Be conscious that each one of us are prone to murmur and dispute. Why do we do that? Why do you complain about things? Why do I complain about things? Because it's not my way. Why do you dispute with somebody else? Because your way isn't right. My way is right. Pride. Only by pride comes contention. Proverbs 13:10 tells us. Pride brings contention. Paul's calling for the believer to be without. The Greek there, it means to be isolated. Isolate yourselves from the garments of murmuring and complaining and disputing. Don't let them even be in your closet. Isolate yourselves from them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, Paul writing here to the church at Ephesus, he says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." He says, these are not the garments that are becoming to a saint. This isn't what a saint of Jesus Christ should look like. Well, Paul to the Philippian church is basically saying the same thing. He's saying, if you're murmuring and disputing, that is not becoming of a believer. That's not what you should look like. Why does he say that? When did you hear Jesus murmuring? When did you hear Jesus disputing in a way that would be doubting the Father? We don't hear Him doing that. There's a perfect example that we are to follow, and those should not be named among us as Christians. Bottom line. Murmuring is complaining. Disputings is questioning with a doubting tone. We're doubting. Complaining is an emotional rejection of God's providence, will, and circumstances for one's life. When we complain, we're rejecting God's providence, His will for our lives. Disputing means questioning. Criticisms directed negatively towards God. Is it wrong to question, ask God why? Is it wrong to do that? No. But at times we will question God with a negative tone. With a questioning Him as if you don't know what you're doing. Does He know what He's doing? Yes. Don't dispute with God. Don't dispute with God. Consider the Israelites. But this is really great. Consider the Israelites as they have just been removed from Egypt. And here's the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army is coming upon them. What do they say to Moses? What, there wasn't enough graves in Egypt for us to die there? You brought us out here to the wilderness? What's wrong with you? Murmuring. They started to murmur against Him. Again, they murmured against Moses at Marah when they were thirsty. And God provided. Again, in the wilderness of sin, it looks like sin, when they were hungry. And the list goes on about the murmurings of the children of Israel as they murmured over and over and over and over and over again. And God provided over and over and over and over again, miraculously parting the Red Sea. Who couldn't follow God after seeing walking on dry ground with walls of water on either side of you? Who couldn't? Who could ever doubt God's ability ever again? I could. And so could you. Seeing manna coming from heaven, being fed night and day with quail, water pouring out of a rock in the desert,
I mean, think about it. God mightily moving here, 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 and the list goes on. Yet, when you look back over your life and you see the monuments of God working here, His mighty hand in this situation, and then again here, and again here, you clearly see God did this. Then you come to here and you think, man, God doesn't do anything for me. God must not love me. Why do you do this to me, God? I do everything for you, but you've never done anything for me. Don't we do that? Or am I the only one? The character, the attribute of God that is the most well-defined in Scripture is what? His love. Yeah, what's the first thing we question when times get tough? The disciples in the boat, as the storm is raging and Jesus is sleeping, what do they say to Him? Don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus, don't you love us? We question God's love. We murmur and complain at Him. Moses responds in Exodus chapter 16. He says, your murmurings are not against us, the leadership. Your murmurings are against God. The Israelites murmured and complained because they doubted God's goodness and His promises. God promised over and over and over, and He showed them His goodness over and over and over again. But their murmuring and their complaining was the reality of, I don't trust You, God. And how often is that evident in our lives? How often do we fall prey to that ourselves? Consider Psalm chapter 106, verses 24 and 25. It says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not His word, but did what? But murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Speaking of the Israelites. I'm promising you this land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, I don't think you've been there. I don't think you know what you're talking about. But do you realize the giants in the land? I mean, come on. You may say it's good, and okay, we'll trust you that it's good, but there's giants there and they're too big for us. As Christians, how oftentimes do we find something to criticize or complain about God's goodness? We find some chink in the armor of God as if this is a great gift, but oh, I thank you for providing that for me, but you know what? I have to drive to get it. We find something to complain about too often times. Let us be aware of our bent towards doing this, and in turn, Lord, help me. This is the reality of who I am. I need your help. Help me. Show me where I'm complaining. Show me where I'm not being humble to you. Show me where I'm doubting your goodness. Show me, Lord, and I'll confess. And help me not to doubt you. Show me where I'm doubting you and help me not to doubt you. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And this is where the working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is so vital, because you have to work at it, don't you? I do. I have to work hard to not complain. I have to work hard to not cause fightings and disputings. I have to work hard to not seek to go my own way. But I have to work that much harder when I stop relying upon God and am not dependent upon Him to help me, to energize me, to have the desire to not complain and then be able to do it. We need God's help. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, empty praise. It all starts here. It all starts in this verse. Why am I taking extra time with this verse? Because it all starts here. We're called to be servants, obedient servants of God. We're called to live a Christ-honoring testimony. We're called to diligent action. But when we murmur and complain, we undermine our testimony. We undermine our working. We undermine our effectiveness as a father, as a husband, as a parent, as a wife, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, as whatever you are. When we complain, we undermine our effectiveness to serve God in the capacities He's ordained for us in our lives. When we are guilty of this negative behavior, then we will undermine our effectiveness in the positive behaviors in the following verses. So what are the positive behaviors? It's vital that we understand how important it is that we put off, we lay aside murmuring and disputing because we're so inclined to that. Because I'll tell you what, we probably have a whole section of our closet designated to murmuring and disputing. Because we can always find the right time to wear it. Let's get rid of it. And don't buy more of those clothes. Your Christian wardrobe shouldn't have those type of garments in them. But there are garments that we should be wearing. Positive behavior that we should be putting on. That we should be diligent in putting on. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We see articles of clothing that we should be putting on, positive, godly behavior that we should be putting on there. Letter A, a pure testimony. Being blameless and harmless. Being blameless speaks of being faultless, without reproach. That other people, if they really are honest with themselves, they can't find things wrong with you. As a Christian, as one who is following Christ, we shouldn't be giving people ammunition against us. By God's grace, we can be blameless. This doesn't mean perfect. But too often times we're feeding ammunition. Oh, that's a complaining Christian. Oh, not blameless now. They're just unhappy. Not blameless now. Harmless. Harmless literally there means unmixed. If you were to mix two different kinds of metals, that would not be what they call harmless. If you mixed wine with water, if you mixed grape juice, pure grape juice with water, it was not harmless as what it's talking about. It wasn't sincere. It wasn't wholly just one thing. It would be something that is mixed, not fully genuine of that you believe you're purchasing. Blameless, without fault in the sight of others. Consider a guy named Hobab. Anybody remember reading about Hobab? He's a brother-in-law of Moses. Moses was in the wilderness with the nation of Israel, and Hobab came to visit. And in Numbers chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he, Hobab, said unto him, Moses, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land, and to mine own kindred. Moses is saying, This is what God's going to do for us. He's going to bring us into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You can enjoy the blessings of God. Come with us and enjoy God. Be redeemed like the rest of us. What about you when you say to an unbeliever, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus died for your sins. You can enjoy intimacy knowing God.
Hobab says, not for me. Home is better than where you're going. The unbeliever oftentimes says, that's good for you. Why? I'd like to offer a possibility here. We're not clearly told why Hobab says no. But could it be that he saw the murmuring and disputing amongst the nation of Israel and says, this is a redeemed people that are supposed to be happy. They have God. They have the Shekinah glory. They are intimate with God, and yet this is how they're acting? Thanks. Keep your religion to yourself. This is good for you. And in his mind he's saying, no, it's not. I'm going to go my way. Because home is better than what you have. As Christians, how oftentimes do we meet up with Hobab and we've been murmuring, complaining, and then we try to share the gospel with somebody and wonder why they don't want it? Could it be that they see right through the facade that we are not harmless? We are mixed. We're not wholly devoted to the Lord and enjoying the reality, the precious promises, the precious truths, and living for Him and enjoying the reality of I am a child of God. Could it be that we aren't as effective as we could be because we're not being obedient to verse 14? I would say at times, I'm very guilty of that. And therefore, in those times, I'm hurting my effectiveness for the gospel. We see the positive behavior that we are to put on. We are to put on a pure testimony. But we also are to put on a vibrant testimony. What does Paul say there? He says that ye may be blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to be putting on a vibrant testimony. Shine as lights. You are the light of the world. Are you not? Because Christ lives in you. A testimony of a changed life because of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature. You're not like the world that murmurs and complains and disputes. You are a child of God. You are different. Live like it. Shine. Be different than the world. Be vibrant in your testimony. Ephesians 5:18, for ye were sometimes darkness. In the past you were dark. But now are ye light in the Lord. So do what? Walk as children of the light. Be a light. Glow in the dark. Be a light. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it only works out that way when they see our good works, when our good works are energized by God. Therefore, they will give God glory. That verse falls right in line with our diagram. Being a doulos of God, responsive to His will, being energized by Him to be a diakonos to people around me, to serve them, be responsive to their will. And as God is energizing me, He will be working through me and He will be receiving glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we see this pure testimony we must put on. We see this vibrant testimony we must put on. But we also see this faithful testimony that we must put on. Holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. In my life, Lord, be glorified as I'm holding forth the word of life. As I'm living my faith, I'm holding it forth. But we also need to be holding fast to our faith. We must be holding fast upon the Word of God. Hold fast your profession of faith, Hebrews 10:23 tells us. Hold fast your profession of faith and hold it forth. Be that testimony, a faithful testimony, as they see your life. They don't see you. They see Christ. Put on a faithful testimony, holding forth the Word of life. As you would hold out a candlestick, as you would take that candle that is glowing, that is bright, and you hold it out. Why? So I can see better? No. So I can be that light in the dark world. Here it is. This is the way. There's an obstacle there. Don't trip. I'm holding this so you see where not to go. See the light. Be a lighthouse in this dark world. Diligent. Be a glow stick. Be something. You glow in the dark because you live in a dark world. So we see there these negative behaviors and these positive behaviors. Have a new wardrobe in Christ and get rid of the old wardrobe. Don't buy new ones. And ask the Lord to help you do that. And then in closing here, the last part of verse 16 through 18. We've seen here actions that he explains. Now let's see this rejoicing to be gained. There's rejoicing to be gained. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. There's rejoicing to be gained. There's no reason to complain. There's reason to rejoice. Isn't there? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, for what hope, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul is saying, you guys, you're the ones that I'm rejoicing about. Because God is having His way in your lives, I can rejoice about that. This is exciting. Look at what God is doing. Why do we have that bulletin board outside? So you can boast in the Lord. Look at how big my God is. Look at what He's doing. Look at what He did here and here and here and here. Come and rejoice with me because my God is bigger. He's more than enough for all that I need. Come back tonight and rejoice with us as what God is doing in your life. It doesn't mean that your life is perfect. It doesn't mean that your life is without trouble or anxiety or difficulty. But it means that God is still at work and you're seeing Him working and you can praise Him for doing His work. He cares enough about you that He is at work in your life. Isn't that great? Oh, to have an attitude of joy. It's not happiness. Because happiness is based upon your happenings. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Being Spirit-filled, you will have an attitude of joy in circumstances that are not happy. There's a difference. That I may rejoice. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Those who follow me. What, do you know what? You know what? Seriously, do you know what causes me to just, yeah, this is cool. This is exciting. When I hear of your testimony and hear what God is doing in your life and you're saying it and you're rejoicing. Look at what God did for me. Look at how He helped me here. Do you realize how much that's encouraging to me? John's saying, when I hear that my children in the faith, that they're walking in the light. They're walking as children of the light. That's exciting. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul is saying there, he's talking about being a drink offering. The Israelites would come and bring a sacrifice. And as the sacrifice was burning upon the altar, being sacrificed to God, the drink offering would either be poured out upon the sacrifice or in front of the sacrifice. Picture it, if you will, as being poured out upon the sacrifice. The steam of it is going up into heaven as a sweet-smelling savor to God. Paul is saying, you guys are sacrificing yourselves. You guys are in full-time ministry as far as living fully for the Lord. You guys are serving God in this ministry, and you are that sacrifice upon the altar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what they were doing. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's what they were doing. And Paul's saying, the beauty of it is, I can rejoice because as your father in the faith, you are sacrificing yourself, and I am that drink offering being poured out upon you. And there's we're giving God honor and glory through your sacrifice and the sacrifice that I've laid out for you as well. There's teamwork. God is working in our lives. God is doing a mighty work in and through us. Keep going. Keep being faithful. Don't give up. Rejoice. God is at work. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. See what God is doing. See how great your God is. See what He's doing in my life. And look what He's doing in your life. Be excited about it. Rejoice in it. Be encouraged. God is at work. He hasn't left you alone. He doesn't sleep. He's always there for you. He loves you this much as He died on the cross for you. Don't question His love for you. And when you do, and He rebukes you for it, go in humble repentance. Lord, forgive me. Rely upon the truths of Scripture. Be reminded daily, this is my God and how great He is. Be reminded of it. So again, it all starts with murmuring and disputing. When we are guilty of this negative behavior, then we will undermine our effectiveness in the positive behaviors of being blameless and harmless without rebuke. The extent to which we shine as lights will be dimmed by our murmuring and disputing. Our credibility in holding forth the word of life will be undermined. And finally, the reality of our rejoicing will end up being just an unrealized dream. The reality of our rejoicing will be an unrealized dream. It won't be a reality to us if we're stuck in the murmuring and complaining. Put it off. Put on the new wardrobe of the Christian. Okay. James 1:25. It's written out there for you. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Real quick. But whoso looketh, to look with great care. Whoever looks with great care into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. When you dig diligently into the Word of God, here it is. You're studying it. Don't be a heedless listener. Listen with the intent to do something about it. Don't forget about what you just read. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. But be an active, obedient doer of the work. What happens to that man? He will be blessed in his deed. The goal is a changed lifestyle, a doer of the work. You have to be what? You have to want to become what He wants you to be. That's where it's God that works in you, both to will, to desire what He wants you to be. You have to want to do that. Let Him put that desire in you. Then let Him help you to do. You have to want to become what He wants you to be. Continue until what you study is permanent. It says, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. You continue until what you study becomes permanent. So you're not a forgetful hearer. How long do you stay in the passage of Scripture? Until you don't forget it. Until you don't forget it. Continue until what you study is productive. You are a doer of the work. You will be a doer of the work as the truths take hold in your life. This man shall be blessed in his deed. There's blessing. Blessing comes from obedience. Obedience to what you hear from the Word of God. Today you've heard much from the Word of God. The challenge is don't be a forgetful hearer. Continue in these words. Continue in these words until you get it. Continue in these words until you don't forget it. Continue in these words until you do it. Until they become permanent and you become productive. Amen. You will be blessed as you heed the Word of God. Diligently seek Him. He knows what He's doing. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your grace. You are so good to us. Lord, we need Your help. Lord, this is a tall order for us. But Lord, we thank You that You are energizing us. You are working in us to give us the desire and the ability to do all that You're calling us to do. So thank You, Lord. Oh God, help us, we pray. Be Thou exalted. Be magnified. We commit these things to You. We commit this time of worshiping You in communion. Help us, O God, to honor You. We thank You and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.